station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Theodore Lawrence presenting The Mountaintop, exploring legacy and mortality through the life of Martin Luther King Jr., showing January 30th through February 8th. Details at theodorelawrence.com.
It's 38 degrees in Lawrence, 38 in Manhattan, 40 in Atchison. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, 90.3 FM in Chanute, many frequencies all around the state, thanks to listeners just like you. You can listen online anytime or become a member at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing automatic backup battery systems for uninterrupted power for residential homes or businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
Stay with us. Coming up in just about 12 minutes, an update of news headlines. Then at 6:36, we'll have more on the Jeffrey Epstein documents, followed by a report on why the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is demanding that the Vaccine Alliance remove a preservative from vaccines. And we will get the answers to some questions about the future of the Kennedy Center, since the president put his name on top of it. They're saying they're going to shut it down for 2 years for a complete rebuild, but they just renovated? We'll talk about it coming up on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, devoted to improving the lives of Kansans, Americans, and people everywhere through discoveries in health, technology, the environment, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
KPR is throwing a big old party to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Retro Cocktail Hour, February 27th and 28th, right here in Lawrence, featuring live music by Los Angeles band Nutty and Lawrence's own Exotica Cocktail. The complete schedule of events and information on getting tickets at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. The time is 6:20.
That they could lose their homes. We'll hear about the city's growing grassroots effort to help and how rental assistance hotlines are scrambling to keep up with the demand. That and more tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, a great way to start your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Bridgehaven in Lawrence, providing family-style memory care in a home environment and 24-hour nursing care on-site. More information is at mybridgehaven.com.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming your way in less than 1 minute. Lows in the mid-20s tonight. Slight chance of flurries tomorrow morning. Highs tomorrow in the upper 30s. It's 6:30.
Virus, according to a statement from Homeland Security, and all detainees are receiving proper medical care. More than 1,400 people, including infants as young as 2 months, have been detained at that facility.
You're listening to NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The president of the Kansas Board of Regents is stepping down. Blake Flanders has announced he will retire from the position on June 30th. The regents oversee the state's public universities. Flanders has been board president since 2015. Under his tenure, the board implemented a plan called Building a Future, which aims to make college more affordable and expand university research capabilities. The Lawrence Journal World reports the board has not yet announced what the process will be for replacing Flanders. Kansans for Life, an anti-abortion lobbying group, is now pushing to block Medicaid funding from paying for any services at facilities that provide abortions. It's part of the group's new legislative agenda. Jean Gowden is the organization's director of government relations. She says a recent Supreme Court ruling is allowing the change.
So the state does have a right to be able to say, you know, this is something that we do not feel is a good use of taxpayer dollars.
The state in the past tried to block any Medicaid funding from going to abortion providers, but ultimately lost in court and ended the effort. There's also currently an effort by the federal government to cut Medicaid eligibility for some reproductive care centers. New federal nutrition recommendations have stirred up the debate around the health effects of dairy fat. The recently released Dietary Guidelines for Americans endorsed whole-fat dairy products as a healthy and less processed choice. The change follows a growing number of studies that have shown people who consume whole milk and full-fat yogurt are not more likely to develop heart disease, despite the products having more saturated fat. Mario Kratz is a former academic nutritional science researcher who has studied dairy's impact on heart health. He says there's still more research yet to be done.
If we don't have clear data to suggest that one form of dairy is better than the other, maybe we should just leave the choice to the consumer.
But Kratz says the guidelines go too far in recommending butter as a healthy fat. He says research has clearly shown that butter raises cholesterol levels. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from this day. News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, 5 to 9 a.m., the very latest national, international, and regional news. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health's new cancer center, offering cancer clinical trials and comprehensive treatment options, all under one roof. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, many of the frequencies as well, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. We have about 11 more minutes of all things considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations, stay tuned at 7:01 for news headlines. That will be followed by Stardate, then an hour of evening classical music coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, offering fun educational programs like Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, Weather Hunters, Carl the Collector, and Lila in the Loop, available on demand in the PBS Kids video app.
It's 38 degrees in Lawrence, 38 in Manhattan, 39 in Topeka. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Options. At progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
Sometimes the best New Year's resolution is to keep a healthy habit going strong. So keep joining us weekday mornings for Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition from 5 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday on your KPR stations. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Thanks for joining us. News headlines are coming up next, followed by Stardate. Then we have classical music till 9, at which point we shift gears, and it will be jazz in the night.
Support for KPR comes from Audio Reader's Next Audio Sale, a benefit sale of vinyl records, audio equipment, and more taking place at the Lawrence Public Library, Friday and Saturday, February 13th and 14th. Information at reader.ku.edu/audio sale.
KPR's Retro Cocktail Hour is celebrating 30 years on the air, February 27th and 28th in Lawrence, and you are invited. Kidding, of course you're invited. You're the first person we thought of. Join us for a weekend of live music, parties, and seminars. For a complete schedule, Just visit kansaspublicradio.org. There's advice on how to get tickets there as well. It's made possible in part by Dr. Stephen H. Chronister, Healing Smiles of Topeka. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says every federal officer on the ground in Minneapolis will be issued body-worn cameras immediately. There has been an increase in calls for such a move, especially in the aftermath of the shooting deaths of two U.S. citizens, as NPR's Kat Lonsdorf reports.
Secretary Noem made the announcement on X, saying that the program would be expanded nationally as funding becomes available. She did not specify where such funding would come from. There has been intense scrutiny recently of the conduct and transparency of immigration enforcement officers, especially after federal agents shot and killed two U.S. citizens protesting deportation activities in Minneapolis. In 2022, President Biden directed federal law enforcement to wear body cameras as part of a larger executive order. President Trump rescinded that in his second term. But over the weekend, Trump seemed to approve of the idea, saying he thought it would, quote, help law enforcement. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Minneapolis.
The Justice Department has released millions of more documents in the Jeffrey Epstein case, but within those pages are the names and photos of alleged victims of the sex offender and disgraced financier that the federal government was supposed to redact. NPR's Jacqueline Diaz has more.
As part of its required disclosure of the Jeffrey Epstein files, the Justice Department was supposed to redact any sexually explicit images and information that could identify victims. They failed to do that in some cases before releasing around 3 million documents last Friday. In some cases, even nude images of young women, or possibly even teens, were released. The DOJ in a statement says it takes victim protection, quote, very seriously, unquote, and that they've taken down pages where they were notified of identifiable information that was released. Jacqueline Diaz, NPR News.
Some key reports on the job market will be delayed this week as a result of the partial government shutdown. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Labor Department's number crunchers are among those temporarily furloughed.
The government was supposed to report this Friday on January's job gains and unemployment rate, but the Labor Department says that report will be tardy because Congress failed to authorize a spending bill in time to avoid a partial government shutdown. The lapse in spending will also delay a report on job openings and turnover that was scheduled for release on Tuesday. A congressional standoff last fall shuttered parts of the government for a record 6 weeks, so the jobs reports for September, October, and November were late, and October's unemployment report was lost for good. Jobs numbers for January were collected on schedule, so they'll likely be released soon once this latest shutdown is resolved. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
A series of small earthquakes rattled the San Francisco Bay Area for more than an hour this morning. There were no immediate reports of damage. U.S. stocks rose today. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ both added 0.5%. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Stardate February 2nd. From parts of the U.S., the moon will briefly cover the heart of the lion tonight. The moon will pass directly between Earth and the bright star Regulus, creating an occultation. The moon can occult Regulus because the star lies almost atop the ecliptic, the sun's path across the sky. The moon stays close to the ecliptic, but it does move a little to either side. So occultations of Regulus come in groups. This one is part of a cycle that began last July and will continue through the end of this year. The occultations are separated by about 27 days, which is how long it takes the moon to circle through the background of stars. Each occultation is visible from a different part of Earth. In part, that's because the moon and Regulus are below the horizon as seen from much of the world. And the moon is so close to us that there's a big difference in the viewing angle across the globe. So from any specific location, sometimes the angle is just right, but more often it's a little off. This month, the angle is right for sky watchers in the eastern United States. For most of the rest of the country, the moon will just miss the star. So all of us will see an amazingly close encounter between the moon and the heart of the lion. Only one more occultation in this sequence will be visible from anywhere in the contiguous United States on April 25th. After that, we won't see another one until 2044. We have more skywatching tips, astronomy news, and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. Coming up, pianist Jan Lisecki with the second of Mendelssohn's two major piano concertos. And this music of Vivaldi here first. In his appearance, at least, violinist Nigel Kennedy has for years kind of been the John Lydon, the Johnny Rotten of classical music with his mohawk and his punk attitude. Needless to say, though, Kennedy has much more liberal politics than Lydon, who's become quite a conservative in his later years. Here's Nigel Kennedy performing at the playing his violin and also leading the English Chamber Orchestra in some Vivaldi for you. Thank you. Autumn from the Four Seasons, as only Nigel Kennedy can arrange it and play it. Nigel Kennedy violin there with those very entertaining, quiet glissandos there. And he conducted the English Chamber Orchestra in Autumn from the Four Seasons by Vivaldi. That is a piece called Titilayo by Jeff Scott, who plays French horn with the Imani Winds, and that's the group that we heard playing that piece as well.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, streaming quality programming anytime, anywhere with the PBS app, featuring PBS favorites like Masterpiece, Week in Review, Antiques Roadshow, and much more on demand.
and the KU Natural History Museum. Membership at the museum includes reciprocal entry to over 200 museums and science centers across the country. Membership information is available at biodiversity.ku.edu.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 39 and fair. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. It's 39 and fair.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Mendelssohn wrote two official piano concertos. As an adult, he did write some similar youthful works, but only two numbered concertos. His second, he absolutely labored over, and then, for all his hard work, it's sometimes criticized for being too easy to play, which it feels like only a classical musician would complain about. Jan Liszecki at the piano here with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra in the Piano Concerto No. 2 in D minor by Mendelssohn.
Thank you.
The second piano concerto by Felix Mendelssohn, and we heard pianist Jan Lisecki there with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Audio Reader, hosting a benefit audio sale of vinyl records, audio equipment, and more at Lawrence Public Library, Friday and Saturday, February 13th and 14th. Details at reader.ku.edu/audio sale. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Baby J's Legacy of Hope, serving Lawrence and the surrounding areas, providing financial and emotional support to families that are navigating a pediatric cancer diagnosis. Details at babyjslegacy.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 37 and fair. Wind is from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. It's 37 and fair. That's KPR weather.
A Hamlet overture by Niels Gade, played here by the Danish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Dmitry Kitayenko. the Hamlet Overture by the Danish composer Niels Gade, played there by the Danish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Dmitri Kityenko. This evening's classical music is supported by Progressive Insurance, helping protect a wide variety of small businesses with over 30 customizable coverage options to choose from. It's small business protection that won't break the bank. Online quotes available at progressivecommercial.com. And, of course, thanks to you as well. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 37 and fair. Wind is from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 30s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. It's 37 and fair. That's KPR weather.
If you feel like you might need to exhale a bit, this music might be exactly the kind of thing you need. In a way, it might be the sound of Antonín Dvořák himself exhaling, knowing that there was a bit of a light at the end of a tunnel for him. And it really sounds like it, unintentionally or not. I'll tell you that story, and we'll enjoy the Serenade for Strings by Dvořák coming up in about 20 minutes on this Monday night, the first Monday of February. Stick around.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, with a seat next to me, just for you. We're here in White Concert Hall at Washburn University, about to hear chamber music from Sergei Prokofiev and then George Onslow. Now a quintet of oboe, clarinet, violin, viola, and double bass are getting settled on stage here at the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival in Topeka. They'll begin with music Prokofiev originally scored for a ballet orchestra for five musicians. In six short movements, here's the 1924 Quintet in G Minor by Prokofiev.
Thank you.
Interesting chamber music from Sergei Prokofiev, circa 1924, Prokofiev's Quintet in G Minor, Opus 39, closely related to a long-lost ballet of his called Trapeze. He'd been approached in Paris by a small traveling dance and entertainment troupe who commissioned a short ballet for their performances. But their orchestra only had 5 members. The related ballet, Trapeze, was only reconstructed in 2002, and of course isn't as popular as his other ballets, say Cinderella or Romeo and Juliet. So part of it became what we just heard, Prokofiev's Opus 39, his Quintet in G Minor. Now Alex Klein, Jonathan Gunn, Eric Tanner, Orlando Wells, and John Moore have left the stage, and a string quintet made up of first and second violin, viola, cello, and double bass are getting ready to play something by George Onslow. George Onslow was a French composer of English descent who lived just a bit past Beethoven's years, or 1784 to 1853. Here's George Onslow's String Quintet in D Minor, Opus 45, played by members of the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
after hearing the virtuoso string bass player Domenico Dragonetti, composer George Onslow, changed the way he wrote his string chamber pieces. He started writing in a part for the double bass, sometimes in place of a cello. We've just heard violinists Jean Yi Kim and Jesse Thompson, violist Craig Mum, cellist Paula Hochhalter, and string bassist Nicholas Solanos, playing the string quintet by George Onslow, French composer of English descent, 1784 to 1853. Wrapping up another night of the Sunflower Music Festival 2025 on a Tuesday chamber music night here in White Concert Hall in Topeka. We hope you've enjoyed this concert, and we encourage you to check out sunflowermusicfestival.org for more information about this yearly free music party. And check out kansaspublicradio.org for more information about this show, Classics Live, where we record great local classical concerts so we can bring them to you and to a wider audience. KPR sound engineer Chuck Smith recorded this concert, and I'm your classical concert mate, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Tenor Michael Spires with the Topeka Symphony Orchestra, led by Kyle Wiley Pickett, for De Capua's O Sole Mio. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
New year.
I want to ask about the United States Senate for 2026. This is a map where...
New beginnings.
So, Scott, what's your sense of how this is going to play out?
New stories.
Wow, wasn't expecting that. What do they want out of this lawsuit?
Wherever 2026 takes us, Morning Edition from NPR News will be there. Stay informed with us every weekday morning.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the Crystal Image Photography Studio, offering customized photography sessions and packages to create artwork that captures light and motion. Now in downtown Lawrence. Information and portfolio at tcistudio.com. This is KPR from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says federal immigration officers in Minneapolis will begin wearing body cameras. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports the move comes after the fatal shootings of two U.S. citizens.
The Homeland Security Secretary announced on social media that, quote, effective immediately, we are deploying body cameras to every officer in the field in Minneapolis. She went on to say that the program will be expanded nationally as funding becomes available, but did not elaborate. The surge of federal law enforcement and the aggressive tactics used have faced widespread scrutiny. Trump has shuffled leadership of the crackdown in Minnesota, sending Border Czar Tom Homan to oversee the operation. Democrats made body cameras for federal officers one of their demands in exchange for support for Homeland Security funding. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
President Trump is urging House Republicans to back a spending package that passed the Senate last week as part of a compromise with Democrats. The measure would fund most of the government and keep the Homeland Security Department funded through next week. But Republicans are making their own demands in support of President Trump's immigration crackdown. Trump said on social media that, quote, there can be no changes at this time. President Trump says the U.S. is creating a nearly $12 billion stockpile of rare earth elements.
Just as we have long had a strategic petroleum reserve and a stockpile of critical minerals for national defense, we're now creating this reserve for American industry, so we don't have any problems.
The move is an attempt to counter China's dominance in these metals, which are crucial for modern electronics. China controls about 70% of the world's rare earths mining and 90% of processing, giving it leverage in trade talks. The Maryland House of Delegates passed a new congressional map to favor Democrats in the 2026 election, but it's likely to stall in the state Senate. WYPR's Sarah Petrowich reports.
All but one of Maryland's Democratic delegates voted in favor of a map that could oust the state's sole Republican congressional seat following the November general election. Governor Wes Moore says the new map is a way for Maryland to fight back against the Trump administration and its request for red states to redraw their congressional lines in favor of the GOP. Moore is now calling on the Maryland Senate to vote on the proposed map, but Democratic Senate President Bill Ferguson does not intend to bring the map to the floor for consideration, saying lawmakers should focus on state issues. House Speaker Jocelyn Peña-Melnick said her chamber, quote, did what it needed to do and hopes the Senate will reconsider. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Petrowich in Annapolis.
A new round of talks about ending Russia's war in Ukraine is set to go ahead this week. A senior Kremlin official says negotiations will take place in Abu Dhabi. The talks were reportedly postponed due to scheduling conflicts. This is NPR News. A landslide last week collapsed tunnels at a mine in eastern Congo, killing at least 200 people. The mine has been controlled by M23 rebels since 2024, though the rebels and Congolese government have traded accusations over responsibility. It's one of the deadliest disasters in recent memory in an area already facing a displacement crisis. In Texas, a measles outbreak has been reported at the ICE Immigration Family Detention Center, about 70 miles southwest of San Antonio. From Texas Public Radio, David Martin Davies reports.
Two active cases of measles in detainees have been reported at the same immigration detention center where preschooler Liam Conejo Ramos was being held in South Texas. He was released on Saturday. San Antonio Congressman Joaquin Castro, a Democrat, confirmed that the Department of Homeland Security notified him of the outbreak following his recent visit. ICE Health Services immediately took steps to quarantine and control further spread of the virus, according to a statement from Homeland Security, and all detainees are receiving proper medical care. More than 1,400 people, including infants as young as 2 months, have been detained at that facility. For NPR News, I'm David Martin Davies in San Antonio.
About 50 members of a community outside of Chile's capital spent Saturday trying their best to power an entirely human-operated chatbot that could answer questions and make silly pictures on command. Organizers say the 12-hour project has fielded more than 25,000 requests from around the world, with more still coming in. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
Thank you. Janet Lafayette Harris Jr., and I am so happy that he's dug out this terrific Max Roach piece that started the hour called It's Time, as it is time for Jazz in the Night on KPR. When Max Roach wrote that in the early 60s, it was a piece he wrote in support of the Civil Rights Movement. Lafayette Harris Jr. resurrecting it for his new album called I Want to Be Happy, with Kenny Davis bass and Jerome Jennings drums. Some gorgeous ballad work from Joshua Redman in a few minutes. We'll tell you how you can win tickets to his upcoming concert at the Folly Theater. In a little more than 15 minutes, some terrific trumpet from way back in 1961 by the great Teddy Hubbard on Blue Note Records, and a lot more as well. Let's hear another. This is Jackie McLean in 1956 for Prestige Records. The album called 4, 5, and 6 because there are quartet, quintet, and sextet tracks. And we'll hear a quartet track, Jackie, with Donald Byrd on trumpet, Mal Waldron piano. Excuse me, we'll hear a quintet track. Jackie McLean on alto, Donald Byrd on trumpet with Mal Waldron, Doug Watkins, Art Taylor, piano, bass, and drums. Another pianist wrote it, Kenny Drew. It's called Contour on KPR. Alto saxophonist Jackie McLean on KPR. A tasty little tune called Contour, written by the pianist Kenny Drew. Kenny not on this album, the pianist here, Mal Waldron, with Art Taylor drums, Dud Watkins bass, and Donald Byrd trumpet. The Prestige album, 1956. Jackie McLean's album, 4, 5, and 6. We'll hear a brand new singer, Roderick Harper, in a bit. We'll go back into the vinyl vaults for Freddie Hubbard from the early 60s. And up next, saxophonist Joshua Redman. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Baby J's Legacy of Hope in Lawrence, supporting pediatric cancer families during treatment by helping with daily needs such as food, transportation, housing, and other everyday expenses. Details at babyjslegacy.org. Joshua Redman's quartet Friday night this week, February 7th, at the Folly Theater. We'll tell you more about that and how you might win some tickets to that. But first, let's hear a great ballad performance by Joshua Redman. It's Hoagie Carmichael's Stardust.
Thank you.